really good news, because 2 months ago it could have killed me, evidently, or at least put me back into Laurel 3, the cancer ward, where I seem to have spent an inordinate amount of time. I have now, on Wednesday, I was told that I'm now in remission after 6 months. Living hell, a lot like being a Tottenham supporter, I suppose.
Not this year.
No, they are second in the table. Yes, but it very, very difficult to cope with. The cancer itself, the treatment, not really a problem when they just pump the stuff into you. They could use a bike pump, and it really didn't make a lot of difference. It's the after effects of all of that. Many of you will know I've been in and out of hospital quite a lot, suffering from sepsis and other related problems, which evidently are huge. Most of the people in Laurel are suffering from the after effects of the chemo, not because of the cancer. You are always in isolation because you have no immunity system. You can become seriously ill simply from the bacteria that exist in your body. I had lots and lots of support in hospital and throughout the cancer, predominantly from this church, but also other churches, even my sisters, and they're Catholics. So, and my sister is, if you've seen The Silence, you'll know when I say my sister is very Jesuitical. My companion in hospital was this little prayer mat, which my wife brought in for me. And I wanted to come and say a public thank you, because I had a huge amount of support from this church, and it occurred to me while I was laying there, they were pumping stuff in you 24 hours a day, that it is not just a time when you traditionally put on the armour of God because you need strong defence. Years ago, when we used to do things like that, I can remember making cardboard swords for the boys mostly to whack each other with, shields, breastplates, all that sort of thing, the armour of God. But I had a conversation with Mary at one point in the hospital, I think it may have been, when I said I realised that actually we'd got that wrong, you didn't need the cardboard. Belonging to a community like St. Andrew's is actually being part of the armour of God, because I have been supported spiritually by prayer, emotionally by lots and lots of text messages. I have been supported culturally by books and CDs, and physically by food. People sent lots and lots of food. This helped me because I could only eat soup or eggs or drink milk. It helped Mary because not only was she still running the guides, being your church warden, but she was nursing me, which was a fairly elaborate process. And it occurred to me that each and every person in the church, if you imagine chain mail, you may be one ring, but you are joined to lots of other rings, and with that comes the strength, because we are all bound together by the one ring that unites us all. And it was being part of that that actually got me through and supported me in some of the darkest points, and believe you me, there were some very dark points when the will to go on sometimes seemed to desert you. So I just wanted to say thank you publicly for being my sword, my shield, and my breastplate through this hideous period in my life. I don't have to go back for 2 months. I'm looking forward to getting back my strength, not needing a stick, and perhaps even getting grey curly hair. I'll look like the... Well, we won't go into that. There's too many people without hair. But thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the support you gave me.
Wait. Thanks, Bob. We're going to pray for you now, because actually these next 2 weeks, 2 months are a critical time. And actually I want to encourage you, don't stop your prayers, actually, because he's been told that if it's going to come back, it's likely to come back sooner than later. So I want you to us to commit to praying as hard now as we have been praying, and just rejoicing that what God's done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing story of good news. Thank you for your presence with this family, for your power to heal, for the wisdom of all the doctors and medical staff who've worked so hard with them. And we pray that you'll go on blessing them. And particularly we pray that in these next few months that you will keep the cancer away for good, and that it will remain away, and that you won't let it anywhere near his body again. And that you'll just help them to continue to look to you for guidance and for your way ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I think I've just found another preacher as well, don't you reckon? You put you on the next rota, Bob, all right. Amazing, isn't it? Great news. Telling our stories. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. Today we're going to be looking at Rhythm 5. We've got to Rhythm 5. First part this week, next part next week. Rhythm 5. By God's grace, I'll seek to sensitively share my faith with others and support God's mission both locally and globally. And today we're going to think of that first half. By God's grace, I'll seek to sensitively share my faith with others. And I reckon, probably from talking to lots of you, that Rhythm 5 is the one that scares us the most, the one that we feel most ill-equipped to live out and least confident about. And maybe some of you are sitting there thinking this. Or maybe some of you actually can relate to this next guy who tries hard, but actually reminds us so much perhaps of ourselves. Let's watch this.
Sophie, I didn't see you come in. How are you? How's everything going? Like, life and everything. Because we have a life course at church that could help you find out more about life, if you're interested. Hey, Sophie, what do you do on, like, Wednesdays? Do you want to do something cool, like, at a church? Hey, Sophie, have you ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Did you know that in everybody's heart there's like this hole, and that hole is like the shape of a cross, and it's also like a keyhole, and Jesus has the key, which is in the shape of a cross. You were God with us. Once the key opens this door, there's like a chasm, and Jesus is the bridge. Hey, Sophie, have you thought about where you're going when you die? The cross of Jesus is the bridge to Jesus. Do you know about the parable that Jesus told about the footprints in the sand on the beach? It goes, in our lives, we are walking down a beach and we look back at our footprints, and most of the time there are two footprints, but once in the hard times there's like one footprint, and we say, Jesus, where were you when I was hopping through the hard times? And Jesus says, it wasn't you hopping, it was me hopping, and I was carrying you and hopping. And I will give you $100 if you go to life course with me. Hey, Sophie, you know how I go to church? Well, next week there's this thing called a life course starting. And it's basically an opportunity to come along and get introduced to what Christianity really is. There'll be some food, you'll be able to get to meet some people, and then you just get to ask questions. And look, no pressure, but if you'd like to come along, then just let me know.
David, what are you doing?
Sophie. Hi. Now I go to church.
It's a good one, that one, isn't it? But perhaps we do, as we laugh, just do relate to quite a lot of that as well, in that. I want to start by saying today, why should we share our faith? Why not just keep it private? That's often the way these days, isn't it? Actually, this is my stuff and that's your stuff, and actually I'll leave you with your stuff and I'll leave me with my stuff. Well, I want us to give us just four brief reasons. Firstly, you know, we have good news to tell. As Christians, we have the most amazing news to tell. We get the chance to tell a world desperately searching for love that there's a God who created the whole universe, who knows them personally and loves them more than they could ever imagine. We get a chance to tell a world full of lonely people that they never need feel alone, as the God of the whole universe promises to be always with them and to walk with them through the good and through the bad. We get the chance to tell a world full of shame and guilt and regrets that we can find restoration and that we can know complete forgiveness from the past. We can live free and we can live healed again. We get the chance to tell a world full of busyness and stress and anxiety that God offers a peace which passes all understanding, a peace which the world cannot give. But even more than that, we get to tell a broken world full of suffering and evil and pain of a God who didn't wait for us to fix our own problems and come and find him, but a God who came down to us in person, in the person of Jesus, to show us the way back to him and to fix things and to mend a broken world 2,000 years ago on a cross. 1 Peter 3:18 that we heard read to us a moment ago, for Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous, that's Christ, for the unrighteous, that's us. Why? To bring us to God. You see, that's the good news we have to share. That's the news we can't keep to ourselves, that God has fixed the problems of this world and restored a relationship to us, and that one day in the future, everything will be put right in a new heaven and a new earth. We have good news to share. But not just that. Actually, Jesus commands us to share that good news. Mark 16:15, which we heard read, Jesus' last words. The last words of someone are really important. Last words before he went up to heaven. What did he say? Not go into your churches and have lovely times together, but go into all the world to preach the good news to all creation. You know, Jesus didn't tell us to huddle together in churches, safely locked away from the outside world, having a nice time ourselves, but he commanded us to go into the world and tell people about him, to tell people what God's done, and to continue being his ambassadors and his mouthpieces and his witnesses, continuing the mission that he began. not just that. And this is a bit harder and a bit more serious. That, you know, I think the Bible says that people's eternal destinies are at stake too. We don't want to believe that. We want to believe that actually everyone's going to be all right. And I'd love to believe that. I don't think the Bible says that. Mark 16:16 that we had said, whoever believes in Jesus and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. You know, the news is that God is a saving God, a God who saves us for all eternity. Those who believe and put their trust in Jesus. And that's why we need to share that good news with others. You know, hearing Bob's story just reminds me that if we had the cure of cancer and didn't tell somebody about it, I mean, how would that be? If we just said to them, oh, sorry, I'm not going to tell you what works for me, but you just go and find out what works for you. I mean, how ridiculous that is. And yet we have the solution to the whole world. We have the solution to eternal life. We have the solution to the world's biggest problem. And so often we're afraid to share it with others. You know, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, a truth, and a life. The way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. You know, the heart of the gospel is that we can't get to God on our own. We can't get back to God by just doing good, by just living a good life. We can't wash away the mess and the stuff of the past. It's only by grace, by God's grace, by Christ alone, through the death of Christ alone, that we're made right with God again. The first century church didn't keep it to themselves. They told everyone from different races, cultures, and countries. And wow, what an impact they made. But you know, it's not just about saying sorry and getting our ticket to heaven when we die. Because I think there's another reason too. Because actually, sharing our faith is actually an invitation to join God on his mission. It's an invitation to partner with God in transforming this world. It's an invitation to join the most powerful movement in the world. The movement which has more potential to transform and influence our broken world than I believe any government or any president or any corporation. And the great news is that everyone is invited to join and be part of it. And we see this happening here in Malvern, don't we? We see up at the bridge lives being transformed by people sitting here in this room. We hear of the Octagon, of how it provides life, how it provides a safe place of restoration and value to the special people in that community because of what people in this room do and how they serve there. We hear of how in our schools we're providing life-changing education for our young people. Our holiday at home on Friday morning, Friday lunchtime, was an amazing example of just reaching out to the lost and the lonely and giving them something of God's love. You know, I heard this week that the church saves the nation £3 billion a year from the social work it does. You know, if the church wasn't here, our taxes would go up significantly. Isn't that amazing? But isn't that great? What a witness that, that is. And that's all kingdom work. Changing lives, one life at a time. Restoring, renewing our world, helping our communities to flourish. And we get to be part of it. I want to just pause for a moment before I go on. And I want to just say, maybe there are people sitting in this room who haven't yet chosen to follow Jesus, who haven't yet actually chosen to say yes to Jesus and do that thing of turning their lives around that we were talking about earlier. You know, maybe even right now, right at this moment, on this day, 26th of March 2017, is the chance for God to prod you and say, what about giving your life to me? What about coming and following me and joining my mission right here, right now, today? You know, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and 3,000 were converted that day after Peter had preached, those responding looked at Peter and said, what must I do to be saved? And Peter says three things. He says, repent. Acknowledge that we've messed up and say sorry to God. Turn our lives around. Walk in the opposite direction. It says believe that God loves you and sent his son to die for you, to pay the price for you. Believe what the Bible says, that Jesus died because he loves you. And be baptized. Be baptized as an outward sign of the inner change of being washed clean. The outward sign of your forgiveness, that you want to say, I'm part of God's family. You know, maybe there are people here who've never made that commitment. Maybe today you sense God's calling you, come home, repent, believe, and be baptized. I want to just invite us just to pause for a moment and maybe close your eyes. And I'm going to just say a prayer. And actually, for those of us who already have made this, maybe years ago, made this commitment, maybe just let's be reminded of the commitment that we've made. But this is a chance, if you haven't yet responded to Jesus, to respond. And as I said, simply a prayer which says, I'm sorry, thank you for dying for me, and I want to live for you and have your spirit inside me. And I'm going to say it, and if you'd like to say it quietly, echo that in your hearts, if God's prompting you, then do right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I'm sorry for the mess in my life and how that's made you sad. I'm sorry for going my own way. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, then I would love to just give you one of these at the end and talk to you and catch up more. This is a little booklet called Why Jesus, which explains a little bit more of the amazing good news. There's an opportunity too to be baptized and confirmed on May the 21st when the bishop's coming. If you just feel God prodding you for that, talk to me too. And if you're not sure still and just say, I want to investigate this a bit more, then Wedding Alpha after Easter. And it's going to be great. And we're hopefully going to pray for a packed hall and 4 or 5 tables worth of people doing Alpha. Alpha's a great chance to hear a bit of Bear Grylls there, but to just hear about the Christian journey. It's for people who are inquiring about the Christian journey, who want to find out what it's about, but also for people who maybe have been a Christian for many years, maybe you've come to church for many years, but you just want to know the basics again. And go over that and just be, have your mind opened up to some of the basics again. 3rd of May, we're starting invitations in the sign-up sheets at the back of church. Do have a chat with me. Sign up if you're interested in more details in the following weeks. But I want to say, how do we do it? How do we share our faith? I want to just give us a few pointers. And firstly, I want to say, actually, it's about being open to God using us on our front lines. I hope someone's gone to get Jeremy Baxter. If someone hasn't, could someone go and grab him now? Just remember, Judith, a few weeks ago, talked about our front lines, those places where we are in the week, those places where we spend much of our time, where actually God can use us, where we're meeting people who don't yet know Jesus. And God wants to use us in those places. In Shrewsbury, I spent a load of time visiting people on their front lines. That's what you can do when you're a curate and haven't got all the other responsibilities. And it was great. I visited a mate called Arnie, who was an athletics coach. I met him at his athletics track and chatted to some of his young people. I met Les, who Les is 85. His wife has Alzheimer's, and his nursing home, where he goes and visits his wife, is his front line. But I've done one or two visits here too, and I've got these two people to come and talk. Up you come, you two. About their front line, Jeremy and Becca. Jeremy and Becca, just tell us briefly about where one of your front lines is.
So we run the scout group at Morven Wells, And the Explorer unit as well. The Scout groups 10 to 14-year-olds and the Explorer groups 14 to 18-year-olds.
Great. And how long have you been doing that for?
So we've been doing Scouts for 22 years.
Wow.
And the Explorers for about 6 months. We used to run the Venture Scouts before we had children, which is really a bit too much of hard work. Right.
And what does it mean for you to live as a follower of Jesus in your Scout group, on your front line there? What difference does it make there?
I think we see it as part of our sort of our community service, things that we put back into the community.
Yeah, we feel like it's the work that God's given us to do.
Great, fab. And just tell us about the recent evening when I came to join you and what happened on that evening. I've got some pictures up.
So we invite one of the scout badges involves them finding out about their faith. So we invited Dave over to help us with the scout evening. We had a whole load of activities. One of them, I think that's presumably, they're doing miracle charades. They had to do charades to work out which miracle.
Anyone guess what they're doing? Crucifixion, three crosses.
Another one, they had to lower a disciple, their paralysed friend through the roof. The friend didn't start paralysed and very nearly did by the time they reached the floor. We also had a Jesus or Trump session where they had to work out whether statements were made by Jesus or Donald Trump.
Great.
It was really interesting, and although some of them messed around, a lot of them took on the serious point. I would just like to say, actually, that the picture of Trump has disappeared from the wall of the hut, but Jesus is still there.
Right.
So that's really good. The bit of the evening that we were really dreading, actually, was the Grill the Rector session, where Dave sportingly volunteered to let the kids ask him questions, and we didn't know whether they would take it seriously or not, but actually, they participated amazingly. We thought maybe we'd get about 5 minutes out of them and then they'd start rioting. 25 minutes later, we were still there. They asked all the deepest questions of life. Why do we suffer? What happens after death? Do you like dogs or cats? You know, they asked all sorts of things, didn't they? But loads of really deep questions. And it was such an eye-opener because these kids are 10 to 14 years old. A lot of really young ones, and they're really searching, aren't they? You know, I don't know whether they're getting the answers to those questions at home or at school, but when they had a chance to talk to Dave, they were really asking.
And tell us what's happened since then.
So since then, it's really reminded me, actually, that for some of those kids, we are maybe some of the very few Christians they ever meet. And we used to have a Scout prayer book, and I decided that part of that Exploring Your Faith section of the award scheme, we could continue from where David left us and start praying regularly with the troop again, which I always used to feel had made a really massive difference. We had that message here, didn't we, about being unblocked wells? Mm. And I feel like we were wells and we're being unblocked again.
Right.
And that's one of the ways that we're being unblocked. And since then we've had, the prayers in the book are all written by the kids themselves, and we've had some absolutely beautiful prayers written by them. And because they're writing them, they're quite keen to read them.
That's
good news.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Just amazing. How can we pray for you guys?
Pray for the energy to keep going, and the enthusiasm to keep organising and running things. Prayer for more leaders. The reason we run two units is because we couldn't manage to recruit enough leaders to run the two separately, so it would be really good if we can. We started praying for some more leaders, and what eventually came out was that we felt that we had to do it ourselves. But we were hoping that somebody else would step forward and help.
The holy finger pointed at us. The other thing I'd like prayer for, actually, is that sometimes we do actually have a chance to share our Christian faith with the kids. It's usually times like on a night hike, and they'll be walking alongside me, and somebody will really need to tell me about something that's happened in his life recently or whatever. For one little boy, it was that his dad died last year. For one little boy, it was that he was in a single-parent family with his mother, and on the day that we invested him into the scout troop, his mother died. And he'd gone into care, and it was incredibly difficult. And at moments like those, they will ask us really hard questions. Where has my mum gone? You know, things like that. So we need God's help to say the right thing in those situations and to be an expression of God's love to those kids.
Thank you so much. Isn't that an amazing story? Let's just give them a round of applause. Let's go away and pray. Pray for these guys. Thank you. So much of it is just being open and available on our front lines for God to do whatever he wants to do and to prompt us there by God's grace. Not forcing it, but being open to what God's doing. One of the things, too, that I found really helpful is the concept of blessing others. And it was there in 1 Peter, wasn't it? It said, repay evil with blessing. And, you know, I probably, like lots of you, just think, oh, evangelism, I've got to go and do evangelism. It actually feels quite hard. But I want to say, never say that. Just say, I want to go and bless others. I want to go and actually be a blessing and actually allow God to use me. And I want to just tell you, a guy called Dave Ferguson in America tells a story of how two mission groups were sent to Thailand, I think it is. Half of them were said, you go and be evangelists. You go and try and convert people. And half of them were told, you go and try and bless people. And actually, after a few months, they looked at the results, and the blessers had actually done a whole load of social good as well. The evangelists had actually not done huge amounts. But the really interesting thing is that the group who were told to go and bless had 50 times as many conversions as the group who'd been told to go and evangelize. And I just think that concept of blessing is such a helpful one. And actually, this is what he talks about. He says, actually, blessing others. It starts, is this. Think of each letter. B is begin with prayer. Okay, it doesn't quite fit prayer, but B, begin with prayer. And that's where it has to start. We begin and we say, God, will you show us? Will we pray for our front lines? Will you show us what you can do, what you want to do? Begin with prayer. L is about listening to the community and listening to God, listening to those we're with. What does it mean to really listen? What are their needs? What's going on in their lives? E is about eating with others or building relationships, really. We just spend time dwelling with people and building relationships with them. S is about looking, once we've heard their stories, once we've spent time with them, we can work out what do they need us to serve? How can we serve them? And then the S, again, at the end, is about actually think of it as telling our stories. We've heard loads of stories today, haven't we? People telling their stories. Sharing faith is just telling our stories. Let's allow God to show what our own stories can we tell and what of God's story can we tell. Bless, remember that, B-L-E-S-S. If you've got small group stuff, that's in your small group notes particularly. Very quickly, what do our other scriptures that we talked about say? Well, actually, 2 Peter talks particularly about sharing our faith through our actions too. I love this comment from John Piper. He said, living missionally is bearing witness through word and deed that Jesus is better. It's saying to the world, I found what my heart has been looking for in Christ, and it's so deeply satisfying. Why don't you come and take a deep, soul-quenching drink? Bob showed you, actually, what your actions have meant to him. That's sharing our faith. But also it's about sharing our faith when we speak sensitively and gently, isn't it? 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. We're not to ram it down people's throats. We do to speak with gentleness and respect. And that's way two. Thirdly, actually, it's about being empowered, doing it empowered by the Spirit. You know, Mark talks about there are signs that accompany those who believe. Talks about driving out demons, talking about speaking in different tongues, talks about healings happening. We don't go out in our own strength, but we go out empowered by the Spirit. And actually, if we're open to the Spirit, signs will accompany what we do. God will demonstrate his real, not just allow us to speak it. And we remind ourselves that we don't do it on our own. We don't convert people. God does. Through his Spirit. I love what Bill Hybels says. He says, these days I'm more convinced than ever that the absolute highest value in personal evangelism is staying attuned and cooperative with the Holy Spirit. My objective is not to contrive ways to get someone saved. Rather, my objective is to walk when he prompts me to walk, to talk when he says to talk, to fall silent when I'm at risk of saying too much, and to stay put when he leads me to stay put. Being open and attuned to what the Spirit is saying to us. And I want to finish with a story. Here's Vera. Vera's from Shrewsbury, my old church. Vera's 93. And Vera, up at the midweek service one week up in Shrewsbury, caught me at the end. She said, "Dave, why haven't you come and visited me to talk about my front line?" She said, "I want you to come round and I want to tell you about my front line. I've got loads of stories to tell you." And so I made a date with Vera and I popped round one afternoon and I sat and listened as she told me of her front line. She's pretty immobile now, needs a Zimmer frame to get around and doesn't get out very much. But every Wednesday she goes to a day centre in Shrewsbury. And after she's been going there every Wednesday for about 2 years, she suddenly thought, wouldn't it be nice if we had a harvest service? So she spoke to a member of staff and said, "Is it possible to have a harvest service here?" And they said, "All right then." So she got a minister from our church to come and do a service there to bring something of God into that day centre. 8 years on and the service is now a regular fixture in the day centre calendar. Then one Easter, Vera took in some leftover palm crosses from church and offered one to each of the day visitors, who all gratefully accepted, and she talked to them a little bit about the Easter story. And every Easter now they ask her for their palm crosses. Where are our palm crosses? Every Easter. And she has the chance to tell them of the cross again. And then over the last few years, Vera's invited her friends at the day centre to come to the monthly church lunch that they have there. And now four of them from the day centre come along each month, and one lady has also started coming to church because of it. And after telling me all of that, Vera looked at me and said, "I'm just so pleased that I've been able to do a little bit to bring somebody a little closer to their God." That's something of what it means to share your faith and be a gracious presence in the places where God has put you on your front lines. You know, I reckon if Vera can do it at 93 with her Zimmer frame, then maybe all of us can. If we look to do it, not in our strength, but in God's strength. Why don't you pray for an opportunity this week to step out as a witness for God on your front lines and just see what God wants to do. Let's just have a moment's quiet. And just maybe think about our front lines. Where are we going to be in the week, this week? What might it mean for us to be a witness for God in those places? Maybe ask, "Holy Spirit, will you show me what that means this week? Will you show me the people that you're drawing me to?" In Acts 4, the disciples, James and John, have just healed a crippled man, and they then put in prison and taken up before the high priest. And they tell them not to speak of God again and just to keep silent. And the disciples gather together and worship and pray, and they realize they can't do that. And then it just has those lovely words that after they prayed and after they had worshipped, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Maybe God wants to shake us today, and just that we go out to speak and to proclaim the word of God boldly and sensitively to his Spirit in the places he's shown us. I'm going to invite the band to come up here now, and we're going to just have just sing a couple of songs. And I want to just encourage, actually, to invite a response today, actually, let's all stand as we're getting ready to sing. But actually, maybe you on your front lines, actually, you want to say, make a stand today and say, "God, I want you to use me on my front lines. I want to be open to you using me to be a witness for you on my front lines." Maybe actually for you, just actually coming out and standing in the aisle may be a way of saying that to God. Actually, if you'd like someone to pray with you for boldness and for courage on your front lines, then maybe come to the front, and anyone who is prayer minister, just come up and come and pray for people. But let's just be open to that. But I want to give you the chance to respond. Say, "God, I want you to help me. I want you to help me to be a witness for you in the places you sent me." So just come and respond as you feel free.